Hello, and welcome back to the Reuben Podcast, brought to you by Anne. So, bouncing back from last week's episode, do we call them episodes in podcasts? Do we call them webisodes? Do we call them audio episodes? Either way, thank you so much for subscribing, for retweeting, for sharing this podcast, and for tuning in this very moment in time. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate it. Not as much as you would appreciate me talking about and sharing my voice and feelings and inspirational details to you in this moment in time. Thank you so, so much. But seeing as this podcast is about me and my creative career, you have to, well, I had to ask myself, where do I see myself? Like, what lane do I see myself in? You know what I mean? And for me, maybe emulate is the wrong word, but I'm definitely, definitively inspired by things of the late 90s, early 2000s. Of course, those were, of course, formative years for me, you know, as one who was born in the late 90s sort of thing. You know, these are my earliest memories. And I'm going to shout out some things here, and I pray that copyright is a thing wherever you go. But, of course, this is in the form of discussion, so, you know, the applicable laws apply. But I love things like American Pie. I love things like Mean Girls. I think I was a bit too... It's a term too early, too late. But I think Clueless is just a little bit beyond me. But I can appreciate Clueless. I can appreciate Tom Hanks. I can appreciate Lindsay Lohan. I can appreciate Britney Spears. I can appreciate that. And I still want to give the contemporary flavour for those kind of things. But when you go back in time, and I'm talking about film here, in the main, even though, just on a brief note, the artists which were really big in the late noughties were people who were born in the 80s. Just like people who are prevalent now, in this moment in time, people who are born in the mid to late 90s. Sort of thing. So I truly feel like it's my time. But in terms of film, I'll always cite the 50s as something which, like, any movie in the 50s holds up, just because, like, that's how it is. Whereas I find that movies which are set later are very definitive of the time. Like, movies in the 80s are very much, you can tell they're from the 80s. But movies from the 90s, like, they sort of talk about everyday things, like, you know, teenage issues and prom and all those kind of things, and that's going to be there throughout the rest of time, you know what I mean? So you definitely have to figure out, you know, what your inspirations are, where you are now, and where you are going to next. And the kind of actor I want to be is, I want to disappear myself into a role, yes. Yet at the same time, I have my own influences, my own likes and my own dislikes, and I want somebody, anybody, to almost tell it's me in a movie. Sort of like, who can I think of right now? Maybe people in the same vein as, is it Johnny Depp? Like, a good, like, he's an actor who I feel like, how can I put this? Like, I feel like he disappears himself into a role, yes. Yet, anything from Pirates of the Caribbean to Willy Wonka to, like, you can sort of tell it's, like, his movie. Like, every movie has, like, his own flair and flavour to it. Just like Will Smith. Like, Will Smith is an actor. He was an amazing actor. Yet, when I watch a Will Smith film, like, I know I'm watching a Will Smith film. Does that make any kind of sense? I love it. I love it more than most. But, you know, and I want to be that kind of actor. Or maybe I can just create Reuben. You know what I mean? And, of course, in the last episode, I talked about awards and all those kind of things. And as an artist, you have to almost make the decision between artistic value and commercialism. Not to say that things which are commercially successful cannot have artistic value. And let's say that those films which are high in artistic value, whatever you define an artist to be, cannot be high in commercialism. There's a certain magic in trying to make something which is accessible to all kinds of people, and there's a certain magic in making something that is accessible to only a finite amount of people. Hence the terms indie and mainstream. Those two terms exist. Yet at the same time, I feel like I can bounce in between the mainstream and in between indie to where I can make something really cohesive and magical for all people to enjoy. So, with all that being said, what I love about a creative career is that you really get to hone in on the kinds of people which you want to work with, the kinds of people which you want to align yourself with, and not in any kind of way in particular to be mean or this way or that way, but you look at certain artists' filmography and it's like, okay, I can see this, I can see that, amazing, amazing, amazing. And even artists themselves, they communicate with themselves when the agents want to align them for certain awards and this and that. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And all that being said, it can take a long time to sort of know yourself, to let the industry know you. And also, you gotta think, you're going against how many people right now? In any stage of what you're going into. And I want to work hard to where people can really see the effort behind it. You know what I mean? That's what I really want. That's what I truly want. That's what I truly aspire to be. Of course you want to make a living in doing anything that you want to do. Yet, I can't think of too many other industries where you literally get a trophy for trying the hardest that you can out of all your peers in that particular year. Is Doctor of the Year a thing? Is Pediatrician of the Year a thing? Is Carpenter of the Year a thing? Maybe it is. I didn't want to take away from anyone else. But I love the thought of crafting and embodying something larger than life itself. Which is partly why I got into acting in the first place. But did I know of that when I was like 10? Maybe not. But as I get older and as I see that things are more a possibility, then of course. Yeah. Amazing. All kinds of amazing. With that being said, going back to my inspirations, as a creative person, as someone in the public space, heck, even if you're a politician, you may need some kind of brand. And if you know me from even the previous episode, you would know that I do appreciate artistry at its core, yet a lot of artists which I can think of now, like, I don't know what their favourite colour is. I don't know what their favourite dessert is. I don't know what they like to do in their spare time. You know what I mean? They're very much untouchable. They're very much ethereal. They're very much out there. And maybe that's what happens to you as you grow older, perhaps. Yet and still, I highly doubt that either of them just go to work at, then come home. Or maybe that is their life. Who knows? I don't know them on a personal level. Yet, I still want to be the sort of actor where you can just tell everything from every move I make. Every move that I make makes sense. Then again, the people who inspire me did not grow up in an age of social media. Perhaps that's the defining factor. But even still, I have no idea what their upbringing was truly like. I have no idea the trials and tribulations they fought through to get to where they are today. You know, maybe for some of those actors, their parents divorced young, or they had terrible breakups, or maybe they broke their leg while like trying out for the school football team. I don't know, but I don't get a sense of this is who I was from jump, and this is who I'm carrying through for the rest of my life. I see a few of that, a little bit of that happening now. Of course, you know, when I came of age, then certain artists were already somewhat established and they carried themselves through, yes. But talking about people who were there before that, like the Angelina Jolies and the Brad Pitts and the Leonardo DiCaprios, you know, there's still a sense of mystery to them. Maybe that's what I'm missing yet. Could I create something new, or should I just follow the traditional path that has been laid out for me? You know what I mean? But going back to my inspirations, I loved video games. I still love video games right now. Devil May Cry, Okami. I grew up as an emo kid listening to rock to... Goodness, can I shout out celebrities here? Okay, why not? Evanescence, Avril Lavigne, if she can be classed as emo. My Chemical Romance, The Hoosiers. People who are like, this is what we're doing. Yeah, go for it. Teenage angst, all those kind of things. And that's definitely represented in my personality, but that needs to be represented in my art as well. I could easily imagine myself as some kind of Ben Helsing. I could easily imagine myself as some dark magician. Easily imagine myself as some rock starista kind of thing. Easily. Yet, to find people who were inspired by what I was inspired by, of course they're going to be on the other side of the globe. But to even align myself on their wavelength is the greatest challenge I will ever face in my life, except for raising a family, except for having a child, all those kind of things, except for maybe graduating from a university. Of course, yes. But if I look back at myself all those years from now and see myself, and see that's what I was doing, undone. And I cannot wait to get undone in these kind of things. The thing about movies as opposed to films is that movies can be so bad that they're good. Give me a scary movie, give me a Final Destination. There has yet to be a person who I think, well, people are openly making fools of themselves on the internet and getting paid down, yet there's a certain uncouthness to it, there's a certain unpolishedness to it. And that's not any shade, but there are people out there who want to be creative people and use social media as a tool, and people who so happen to have a social media following, and then they get to where they want to, they just happen to happen. And that's not any shade, it really is not, but you know, then again, who's to say what, because we only know them based on what they say online, right? But even in the more contemporary times, iZombie, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Two Broke Girls, being stuck in Britain, England, is the most rewarding thing and the most damaging thing ever. As arguably, British people do not want to grow up to be superstars, megastars. And I explained most of that in my last podcast. My podisode, if you will. The barrier to entry, of course, is there. Drama schools are a legitimate thing. Yet to get a cohesive resume is arguably easier
in Britain than it is in any other English-speaking country. I mean, I have a friend who lives in Australia right now who actually came over here to try and get a little something. And I've never been to Australia, so I don't truly know what it's like there. I'd love to go one day, though. Definitely. Yeah, but just knowing that you have access to theatre at its core, and anyone who knows anything about television knows that that's the closest thing to film theatre in modern times that we may ever get, truly, unless something new comes out of the woodworks, which may or may not happen. But even then, things like being in the school play and being in community theatre and then being uplifted into the mainstream is a lot easier in Britain than I feel like it is in the US. But then to make a career, to make something which is long-lasting, impactful, a tapestry of works, is arguably easier in the US than it is in the UK, as there are less television networks and need to bounce around from one to another. Is very rare, in my opinion. Then again, most of Britain is working class, and it can't, and you know, you can't really blame anyone for that. Yeah. Well, it's interesting to think how you can align yourself with certain people and find your crew and rock with your crew and all those kind of things. It's a lifelong process. I've learned that making friends is a lifelong process. That could have started from the jump. It really could have. But by and large, when you're doing your GCSEs, you're there because, like, that's the closest school to you. A-levels, maybe you might find certain kinds of people because then you're choosing to be that sort of thing. But for me, being from an offshoot of Nottingham, rather than being in the NCT, like, like, travel zone, it was a little bit harder. Going to university might be that next step. It really might be for me. Yet, people who study film and TV production, people who study this, this and that, they're very much that kind of way. And I may have said it in an earlier podisode, but people who are sitting on the sci-fi table are not necessarily sitting on the football table, are not necessarily sitting in the acting table, not necessarily sitting in the lacrosse table, not necessarily sitting on the textiles table. You know what I mean? And for me, I'm such an eclectic mix of so many different experiences, likes and dislikes. Not because I make it my mission to be pretentious, but hell, being being black, British, and in a rock and roll city, like, oh, goodness me, even in my year group, there was very few people who, like, really got to where he really watched me in the way which I felt I needed to be rocked, you know? Yes. And for me, I'm not going to lose my inspirations. I continue to be inspired by things as I go throughout life, yet in the age of the internet and the way in which I can research all these kind of things to add to myself as a human being, I can consistently refine who I am rather than washing myself away in a sense and allowing myself to just be an actor. Yes, I'm an actor. That is my occupation. That is my job. That is my way of life. Yet I am Ruben. Ruben Witter. Ruben Paul Witter. RBN, Bobby on Stilts, KingNed64, I am all of these things at once. And for me, the ones who are the Angelina Jolies, who are the Brad Pitts, heck, who are the Rachel Blooms, who are the Lady Gagas, who are the Beyoncés, they continuously invest on aspects of themselves and become the best version of them, rather than the best actor, best actress. How about being the best Ruben? That's what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm going to give. Thank you so much for listening to this podisode of The Ruben Show, The Ruben Podcast, brought to you by N. Thank you so, so, so much. Follow me on all social platforms to connect and to catch up with what I'm doing. And let me know what you're doing too. Send me a tweet at Ruben Witter. Thank you so much. Bye.